Good morning, one and all hungry listeners out there in Radio Land, including me, Steve Garner, and Chef John Ash. Although you're probably not hungry. You had a good breakfast this morning.
I did.
Did you really?
No, not really. Actually, I've never eaten breakfast. Except when you go out and have a special breakfast someplace or something like that.
Well, I guess maybe having cooked tens of thousands of omelets and over your career at John Ash and Company, maybe breakfast was not something you... What about Grandma? Didn't she send you off on a good hot breakfast?
She always made the same things. Oatmeal, you know, cooked oatmeal. And once in a while she would do eggs, but not... Even though we had chickens... And we had this wonderful fresh eggs. She wasn't a big egg eater.
Would she sell them?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's a good income. You need that income.
Yeah.
No pancakes?
Only on special occasions. Oh. So somehow breakfast was not, I didn't look forward to it.
The big meal.
Yeah.
Big meal. Well, welcome everybody to the KSRO Good Food Hour with Chef John Ash. I was thinking back, we started doing Thanksgiving together in November of 1987, so this would be our 38th Thanksgiving get-together, although we're doing it early. Thank you, listeners, for calling that to my attention. Someone emailed me and saying, how come you're doing Thanksgiving stuff today on the show? Because next week we have a couple other features that won't allow us to do it. So we thought we'd get a head start on it.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about Thanksgiving.
Have for you?
Absolutely. The past week or so, as we finalized our guest list a couple of weeks ago, and who's going to bring what we're going to do, what our guests are going to do.
So what is your classic Thanksgiving menu?
Well, it always somewhat changes depending on the guest list, because some people, of course, say, well, I want to bring my fill in the blank.
Yeah,
and usually we acquiesce and say, well, sure, fine, even though we go, but it's okay. It's about getting together, number one, and number two, the food is important, but it's really the camaraderie that counts. So we will have, as we always do, I will make my Weber smoked turkey.
Yeah,
we will also make a turkey breast in the oven, so we have that nice crispy crust. In the convection oven. That'd be great. So there's your turkey. One of our guests has very restricted diet. And honestly, it's the most restricted diet I've ever seen. But they can't eat meat. So my wife is going
to
make...
Of any kind?
Of any... Yes. Meat, not poultry. Meat.
Oh, meat.
Can't eat poultry, duck, chicken, nothing. So I'm going to make our little mini meatloaf.
Oh, good.
And this will be great. Although it won't have eggs. We'll have to have an egg substitute because she doesn't eat eggs. But my wife, I know, it's very restrictive. Yeah. But with meatloaf, thank heavens, with some celery, with some onion, you can do a pretty good idea without using any type of binders except gluten-free breadcrumbs, something like that.
And you can use Beyond Meat.
I could use Beyond Meat also, course, either way. So I have that on the side. One of our neighbors is bringing a green bean casserole, your classic,
famous.
With the crispy onions, which I happen to love. Yeah. We're going to do mashed potatoes. We love mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
And then one of our guests from last couple of years ago did a fabulous sweet potato casserole.
Uh-huh.
It's really good.
Yeah.
So we asked her to bring that. So that'll be coming too. Two kinds of stuffing, one gluten-free. And one, I'm sorry, dressing, stuffing, whatever.
Yeah.
Not in the oven. I mean in the oven, but not in the turkey, of course. Don't like it in the turkey. Do you like stuffing?
No, it gets soggy and mushy.
Soggy. Yeah. So we'll have two kinds of dressing, stuffing. I'll be making biscuits.
What about gravy?
Hold on. I'll do the gravy.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, gravy. Having jellied cranberry sauce, because one guest who we invite loves it, and then we'll do fresh cranberry sauce. Probably use your recipe, which you did, I think, with tangerine.
And you do it all in the blender.
In the blender.
And you don't cook it.
We'll get to that also, because that's part of the recipe package, which we're posting on the Good Food Hour West website this morning. So biscuits. I'm not sure who will be bringing appetizers nor what they will be bringing.
Tell them not to. It's funny because I usually have Thanksgiving with my daughter, Emily, and her family. And she does this whole thing of cheeses and all of that, because by the time you eat those things, you don't have room for dinner.
Well, when guests are arriving and we're popping some champagne and having mixed drinks, what would you have with that?
Popcorn.
Popcorn?
Yeah, with truffle oil or something like that. Yeah, something interesting. Or, and we could post it to, it's a mixture of nuts and seeds and stuff like that that you sprinkle over the top.
Oh, nice.
I'll send it to you.
Is it like a dukkah kind of
seasoning? It's exactly what it is.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, send me that.
Yeah.
So popcorn's a great idea. Instead of doing the cheeses and the shrimp cocktails.
Well, yeah, because it's too much.
It is too much.
Because that becomes dinner.
Thank you for that insight. And would you do any nuts? Some nuts?
No.
No.
It's enough.
So popcorn, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm going to propose that. To my better half and see what she has to think about that. Okay. And
with dukkah.
With dukkah.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's the meal, pretty much. I don't think I left out anything. It's mashed potatoes.
Well, that's enough.
That's enough.
It's
plenty.
Always find that we have too many things.
I know. So that's the meal. And then desserts.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be making either an apple custard pie or an apple tart.
Ah.
Now, the apple custard pie is great because it uses phyllo dough pretty quick. Uh-huh. Goes together really quickly. But I do love the drama of an apple tart.
Yeah.
Because you make 11, 12, 14 inches as big, free form, and that's fun, too.
Yeah.
And I'm doing something different this year. I'm going to do a key lime pie.
You are.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Because I want something a little lighter, a little creamier, not as heavy and rich.
Where are you going to get key limes?
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's a
lime pie.
It's a non-key lime pie.
Yeah.
And I've done them. I have gone to the expense of getting the authentic key lime. And it was really great, but I'm perfectly happy.
Yeah. It's not so good.
What about you? You agree?
Yeah, the same thing.
Okay. So do that with probably a graham cracker crust of some type. And so that's two things. And then one of our guests is bringing a vegan dessert, which would be fine because she needs to have that. And then I'm going to do something, I don't know yet quite what it is, something with chocolate.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure what that, the big world of chocolate, I'm not quite sure what that's going to be.
You know, our guest today, later in the show, has some amazing chocolate recipes in there that are doable.
Yes, and one of them was the pretzel chocolate toffee.
Yeah.
Did you catch that recipe?
Yes,
in there?
I did.
Anyway, I want to just preview that for our listeners. We have a great guest at 11:30 today.
Yeah.
What do you thought of the book?
Yeah.
Did you like the book?
I did.
Yeah.
She's such a good teacher, too.
She's a great teacher.
That, you know, I don't consider myself a baker, but it's like, oh, okay, I get that. And the recipes weren't so complicated or esoteric that I had to go out and buy a bunch of stuff that I'd never use again.
And that'll be at 11:30 today for Nicola Lamb. Here's Thanksgiving 2024, courtesy of John Ash. Let me read the preface to this, John. For all the years that I fixed Thanksgiving, my kids especially have been adamant about keeping it traditional. Turkey, stuffing, cranberry sauce, and pumpkin pie. Here are some of my favorite recipes, both traditional and non-traditional. Whether you decide to serve turkey or roast chicken, recipes for both are included. The side dishes really make the meal.
Mm-hmm.
You've always believed that.
Yes.
Side dishes rule.
Yeah.
But you don't even really need the turkey.
No, you don't. Chicken.
The side dishes are what it's about. So we start off with a fresh cranberry relish with tangerine and mint. We've adopted this over the years, the Garner family.
Yeah, it's really good. And again, it's no cooking, just a food processor, and you can make it ahead, and it keeps wonderfully for days and all of that
stuff.
You
really can do this on Tuesday, and it's great on Thursday.
It's even better.
Oh, even better to make it a couple days ahead of time. Okay.
But it's okay either way.
So fresh or frozen cranberries work well. Mandarins or tangerines, mint leaves, a little sugar, a little lemon juice. I like a little Grand Marnier, like you suggest, or other orange liqueur. It's optional. And then another option is lightly toasted walnuts.
Yeah, if you can't eat walnuts, some almonds or pecans or something like that. Yeah.
And it's really You're not exaggerating. That's how simple it is.
Yes.
All into a, is it a food processor?
Yeah, or a food processor, because it chops it up. But you don't want to over chop it. You want it to be nice and have some texture.
Store covered in refrigerator for up to 5 days. And believe it or not, it can also be frozen and thawed and does well.
Yeah.
Texture doesn't break down. Yeah, it's already good. Second, salt crusted potatoes with salsa verde. Now, as you mentioned, this is a wonderful appetizer, but you're saying, too much.
Yeah.
But if people are adamant about having a little something additional, do you use little red potatoes?
Yeah, the little fingerlings that either red or white.
Simple as pie. Salt, flakes, and then salsa verde. So this is a fresh salsa.
Yes. And also, the potatoes are so stupidly simple. It's just potatoes and salt. Duh. That's why they're called salt roasted. But something happens to them when you cook them. You cook them first in salted water. Mm-hmm. The water evaporates, and then they get coated. They look like they're covered with snow.
I've never done potatoes that way.
Oh, salt roasted potatoes are, you'll, if you're going to have prime rib or something like that, or any of those kinds of things, that salt roasted potatoes are just the best.
Did you ever do these at the restaurant?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
To serve along with prime rib?
Yeah, just on the side.
Okay.
And people would look at them and say, what happened to these?
Oh, what's this white coating on it? And then they taste them and say, boy.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. And then the salsa verde, which is parsley, basil, or mint, some green capers, a little bit of anchovy fillets and oil, some blanched roasted garlic, lemon zest, olive oil, black pepper. And then does a food processor again?
Yeah.
Or a blender?
Yeah, or a blender. It's a fresh.
Fresh one. Add a little olive oil.
Yeah.
And then serve that with the potatoes.
Yeah. So this is not a Hispanic, not a Mexican salsa verde, but one that comes from Spain and those areas in which it's used everywhere there.
And they use it besides vegetables, or is it predominantly for vegetables?
No, it's for meats and
too?
All of that stuff, yeah.
Another great one.
Fish.
Red cabbage gratin. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a rich dish, isn't it? It's got cream and butter.
Yes.
Parmesan.
Yeah.
I mean, delicious.
But not a huge amount of those.
3-quart oval baking dish, little butter, add the cabbage, set aside, combine cream, stock, paprika, fennel. Oh, nice. Sugar, salt, little pepper, bring to simmer, don't boil. Pour the cream mixture over the cabbage, stir. I'm visualizing this. And then another bowl, some Parmesan, almonds. Oh, are these almonds toasted? Chopped almonds, and some breadcrumbs, like panko.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Sprinkle over the cabbage. Cover the dish, aluminum foil, bake until the cream's absorbed, tender, 45 minutes. Remove the foil, increase the heat, 400, bake until topping is browned and crisp, 15 minutes. Man.
It will change your idea about cabbage. I don't know how you feel about cabbage.
I love cabbage.
Yeah, I do too. But this is the other end of the spectrum from cabbage salad or something like that.
You know? So it's not like a creamy dish. Is it a crispy dish? Kind of a
it's called a gratin because it has a crispy topping, but it's a creamy dish underneath.
Oh, nice. Why, that might be a great side dish. Don't think about that one. And then we'll take a break after this. I like this. When I saw your titling of this dish, slightly spicy and seductive tomato soup. I thought you were going to write about Rita Hayworth when I read that.
Yeah.
So where's the spicy part? Where's the seductive part? Let's see. Chili powder.
Yeah. Well, that has some chili in it.
Okay. And then this is interesting because you use a short grain white rice.
Yes. Which actually acts to make it seductive, you know, so that you don't have to add any cream to it. It's just the tomatoes.
Oh, got it.
So it's not a creamy tomato soup.
I got it. So I get it. Onion, garlic, seeds, cook that, add the chili powder and the rice. You cook that. You add the tomatoes, the stock, red chili flakes, and simmer for about 20 minutes until the rice is soft, and you stir it. And then ladle in the warm door, and then croutons and a little bit of creme fraiche.
If you want, yeah.
What a nice idea with simple garlic croutons. And then we'll take a quick break and we'll talk about chicken and turkey.
Okay.
Right after this. It's John Ash's Thanksgiving 2024. Nicola Lamb and her new book, Sift, right around the corner.
Did you know that KSRO is more committed than ever to updated local news? 4 updates an hour mornings. Updated local news at noon. 2 updates an hour afternoons. All day coverage of local news on KSRO.
Honey, we need to make reservations for Buckley for our vacation. He loves going to daycare at Paradise Pet Resorts. Let's see if they have room for boarding.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it makes it so much easier to leave him, knowing they'll take care of him like he's their own.
Paradise Pet Resorts will take great care of your furry family member. You get to go away, and your pet gets a vacation. See for yourself on the webcams. Just download the app and look at all those wagging tails.
Dogs are pack animals who don't do well left alone all day. They need plenty of mental and physical exercise, as well as lots of opportunities to play, sniff, explore, and socialize. Doggy daycare is a practical solution for keeping your dog stimulated, as opposed to chewing, digging, and barking when you're not home.
Pets prefer Paradise. Pet tested, pet approved. Book now for boarding and daycare. Paradise Pet Resorts in Rohnert Park in Santa Rosa. ParadisePetResorts.com.
Agricultural community farmers markets bring you fresh produce, meat, and dairy each week year-round.
Saturday and Wednesday mornings, 8:30 to 1, the tradition continues at the Santa Rosa Community Farmers Market in Farmers Lane Plaza. On Thanksgiving, we gather with family and friends to give thanks and share a traditional meal. Nothing is better than food direct from the farmers and ranchers to show them how much you care. You can get everything you need for a scrumptious homemade feast. Wednesday, November 27th at Farmers Lane Plaza, it's a special Thanksgiving market. Some of your favorite Saturday vendors will be there, including Nikki's Flower Creations, Santa Rosa Seafood, and Acadena Cheese. They'll also have their The More You Shop, The More Chances You Have to Win promotion. Every purchase you make will give you a ticket for a chance to win one of the prizes at the information booth. Start your holiday shopping. There are lots of local artisans selling candles, jewelry, soaps, and more.
Info online at ilovefarmersmarkets.org.
Hola, chicas. ¿Estás lista para sentirte fabulosa? This is Karina Lozano, your surgical coordinator, here to take care of you at Dr. Tom Cosmetic Surgery. Our goal is to help you achieve the confidence you deserve. If you're thinking about a breast augmentation to enhance your curves or a cosmetic breast surgery to feel more comfortable in your skin, Dr. Tom es tu opción. Looking for something extra? Try Smart Lipo. Say goodbye to that stubborn fat and hola a una silueta increíble. Voted best cosmetic surgeon 9 years in a row at Dr. Tom Cosmetic Surgery, we're here for you. Porque te lo mereces. And all is done under local anesthetic. Quicker recovery and less downtime. Llámanos hoy y agenda tu consulta. Es hora de ser la mejor versión de ti misma.
Dr. Tom Cosmetic Surgery. Online at drtomcosmetic.com. That's drtomcosmetic.com.
Let's stay young together.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KS Arto Kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash, and let's touch briefly on spatchcock chicken and turkey. And have you changed your thoughts about the roasting temperature for both of these over the years?
I have. I've now come around to high heat cooking. It's faster. You get crisper skin. And I think you end up with a juicier bird as a result of doing that.
Wow. Okay.
So 450 degrees.
Oh, my God. This is revolutionary.
Yeah, it is. And it's. I did a big chicken. It was like a 5-pound chicken a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. It took 50 minutes.
Under an hour.
Yeah.
Wow. And crisp skin?
Yeah, really crisp
skin. At 450.
And the other kicker in there, which I'll throw out, is if you can, it's a little more difficult with a turkey, but with a big chicken, it's not, is salt it, pepper it, uncover it, and put it in the fridge overnight. And so you'll get crispy skin even more so because it dries that out.
Do you try to reach under the skin? People putting butter and oil and herbs?
No, you don't need to. You can put some herbs in there.
I've read that, you can separate the skin, then it puffs up and gets crispier.
Yeah, it's a pain in the neck.
Okay.
That's... So put some herbs in the cavity.
In the cavity.
Yeah.
So high heat, 450.
Yeah.
Both for the turkey and the chicken.
And the chicken,
because some people, you start it at 450, then you turn it down to 325.
Yeah.
No.
I always did that, too. And I think the recipe that is posted, we did that.
You have to turn it down to 325.
Yeah, but it's...
But you're changing that.
I'm changing it.
Okay.
I can change it.
Hey, he's John Ann. We'll take a break. We'll save dessert. How about till next Saturday?
Okay, that sounds good.
We'll meeting Nicola Lamb right after this.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, and now at 96.9 in Petaluma.
Hi, it's Dennis from the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center. I'd like to talk a bit about our market. Sure, we have great coffee, crepes, salsa, sausage, fruits, veggies, crafts, and much, much more. But to me, it's what you can't buy that makes the market special, and that's the people. You may have heard me speak with Steve on Saturday mornings on Garden Talk about buying potatoes from Tom or mushrooms from Barbara, forgetting to mention their business names. This is due to the relationships developed with those who grow the food we eat, something you can't get at the big supermarket chains. The vendors are a great resource to help create the perfect meal for you and your family. Bring your kids, grab a bite and something to drink, and shop the farmers market voted the best farmers market in Sonoma County 2 years running in the Press Democrats Readers Poll. We've been doing this for 50 years. We must be doing something right. So come and visit us at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1.
You've got a Pepto predicament, moviegoer.
Hey, I can hear your stomach grumbling.
Sorry, I ate that entire tub of popcorn with extra butter.
You overdid it, and now your movie has turned into a blockbuster bellyache. Undo it with Pepto.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
Pepto chewables provide fast 5-symptom relief, so you can focus on the action on the big screen instead of in your stomach. When you overdo it, undo it with Pepto.
Retired or retiring soon? How much money do you need to live comfortably? Retirement Planners of America is here for you. Would you like to have financial peace of mind? Here's how. Step 1. Find out the amount of money you'll need to retire. Step 2. Have a plan to get there. Step 3. Make sure that plan can take advantage of market gains but protect you from market losses. Discover how to do all three with a free consultation at 800-508-6108. That's 800-508-6108.
All investments involve risk, including losses. Past performance does not guarantee future results.
Hey there, Sonoma County residents. Are you or a loved one navigating the process of aging or living with a disability? We have some fantastic news for you. Introducing the 2024 Sonoma County Aging and Disability Resource Directory, your go-to guide for support and services in Sonoma County. Imagine having a roadmap right at your fingertips, connecting you to a wealth of resources designed to make life easier and more enjoyable. For information, go to agingdisabilitysonomacounty.org.
Welcome to Staples.
Help! My family's in for the holidays and I need gift ideas.
That's why we're here. Staples has amazing deals on everything you need. Photo gifts, laptops, and gaming systems. Even custom holiday cards and shipping solutions to send gifts to the family that can't make it.
Perfect! Have anything for Uncle Frank? I love him, but the guy is never quiet.
Noise-canceling headphones. For you.
You get it.
Unwrap huge holiday savings at Staples. And right now at Staples, save up to $350 on select computers. Ends 11/16, in store only.
In the KSRO kitchen, celebrating our 38th anniversary of Thanksgiving here on the Good Food Hour with Steve Garner and Chef John Ash, welcome to the show. I first discovered the kitchen blog called Kitchen Projects about 3.5 years ago in 2021, written by Nicola Lamb. And I was so excited during COVID, I called John and I said, you've got to start reading this blog by this gal, Nicola from London. I'm in love with this blog called Kitchen Projects. We've been big fans for the past several years, so we were thrilled when we heard that Nicola was writing a cookbook. The cookbook has just been released. It's called Sift, The Elements of Great Baking. Nicola is now touring the United States and sold out demos and chats around the country. And we're having a chance to chat with her for the next half hour. She's in Los Angeles this morning. Good morning, Nicola, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Steve. I'm so excited to be on this show, and I am blushing with that introduction. Thank you so much.
Well, again, the Kitchen Projects blog that I've been following for about 3.5 years is like nothing else I had seen at that point as far as how in-depth you went into every single recipe, the process, the time you took not only for still photos, but video photos showing the hand movements to make the perfect laminate, the dynamic part of the work, also the not so pleasant part of your failures. You were so transparent about, well, here was the third attempt. It didn't work the first two times. And even though you're a seasoned professional, it gave me great solace and confidence knowing that even you failed often in your
all the time, Steve, all the time. I think that failure is such an important part of the process. You know, if we don't fail, then we can never learn. And I think if we all look back on our lives, whether it's mistakes in the kitchens or even other parts of our lives, we can often, at the time, something that seemed like a failure was actually the greatest learning moment for us. And so I do that with cakes every week.
So,
not just cakes.
So could we, or would you read, or I could read, or Steve could read, in the very beginning of the book, in the welcome section, the first paragraph, which I think kind of sums up your attitude.
Do you have the book in front of you?
I would love to read it out.
Go ahead.
Of course I have the book in front of me.
Okay.
Clicking to that welcome page.
So it's on,
do you mean the part that says, welcome to the world of baking?
No. Yes,
the
welcome.
First paragraph.
The first paragraph is learning to ask why.
Oh.
Okay, start from there.
Yeah.
Let me clear my throat. Learning to ask why is one of the most important lessons I have ever learned while baking. Once you start asking this question and pulling at the threads, you'll discover that baking is an interconnected puzzle, a sprawling family tree of ingredients and reactions. In this book, I hope to provide you with a map so you can explore this kaleidoscopic world with confidence.
I thought it was great. It's a great summary. I think for a lot of us, baking is, we approach it with trepidation.
Of course. There's nothing more disappointing. You know, the thing about cake and baking is that a cake is supposed to bring you joy. So it feels even more disappointing if it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Know, we make ourselves dinner, you know, you might make lunch and dinner every day. We're so used to making it. So, you know, if you burn your grilled cheese a little bit, you don't mind too much. But if you go into the kitchen because you're making a cake for someone that you love because it's their birthday, it feels even worse when it doesn't rise properly or maybe it doesn't turn out just as you wanted. So that's why I wanted to go deeper, and that's what I do with the blog, and that's what I've done with this book, is to try and give you the answers so then you can feel confident, because confidence is such a big part of it.
You begin, half the book is about things that we should know about, but I learned so much, but all about flour, techniques, color.
Yeah. I always forget them. There's 8 sections,
and about eggs and fat and what their purpose is and all of that stuff. You talk in the section about about kneading, and there was a term that you used which I had never seen before. It begins with an R.
Begins with an R. Is it
Rhubarb? What does that mean? I've never
heard. It's just the name of a technique. I actually think it's named after a baker who invented this technique, which is a way of working with very wet doughs, because if you're working with a wet dough and you put your hand in for too long, it's going to stick, and then you end up with having to scrape all of the dough off your fingers, and it's not a very efficient way to mix. But rhubarb mixing is, you sort of turn your hand into a paddle. I like to think about how people used to mix doughs before we had all of these fancy KitchenAid and you know, all of those kinds of mixers. And you can turn your hand into sort of paddle and you go underneath the dough and around, and you're working it as though you were the machine. Your hand becomes the machine, and it's attributed to a baker. So we thank him for that. Thank you, Mr. Rubod.
It's a term I'd never heard before.
Well, so now you can drop that term into conversation, really, John, and people will be very impressed.
So. So the other, the book is filled with these amazing things about, one of the things was a baker's trick toasting flour.
Toasting flour.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And why would you do that?
Well, if you are someone who loves the crusty outside of the bread, sure, we love the pillowy middle, but when I get a loaf of sourdough, I love the rich, dark, flavorful crust. And so if you love those kinds of flavors, all that's happened when you're baking your dough to get that crust is, you know, you've had high heat onto your dough and it's scalded the flour and it's toasted it. And what you can do is, before you've even mixed your flour into the dough, you can take a portion of it and you can toast it in the pan, just in a big wide frying pan will do, and you toast it until it starts going dark, and all this amazing aroma will fill your room. Your house will smell like a bakery. I don't know if you've ever walked past a bakery early in the morning when they finish baking their bread and there's that beautiful smell of kind of dark, crusty loaf. Mm-hmm. And you can take some of that flour and you can put it, use it as a seasoning. You can put it in your cookie dough. You could put it in a bit of cake dough. Now, it won't behave exactly like flour anymore because you've scorched it, but you can use it like a seasoning.
That's a great idea. I've never heard of it before.
I never heard of it either. I mean, you're revealing things that... the Society of Secret Bakers must know about.
Well, you know what you say about this is, so I realized that the cooking community and the baking community is so generous with what they share, but in order to get that information, you need to be standing next to a baker at 3 a.m. during your night shift.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to do was write a book which gave you all of that insight and all of that, secrets, like you say, of baking that I learned from my wonderful teachers, and you can learn it from the comfort of your own sofa rather than going in and doing a night shift.
I want to mention something to you before we get too far into the interview, because I know I will forget to mention this to you, Nicola. I was trolling the internet a couple days ago after reading your book, and I saw a reference to your ultimate chocolate cake.
Oh, yes.
Have you seen what people have now tagged this cake?
No, tell me.
It's called now Goth Lasagna Chocolate Cake.
That's incredible. If I ever write a follow-up book, I will do a Goth Lasagna extra, extra large.
when you look at the photo, it must have 12 layers or so.
Oh, well, it depends. Okay, when you're counting, do you count just cake as a layer, or do you count cake and frosting as a layer? Because, you know, there are two camps there, and so if it's 12 layers of cake, but then it'll be another 14 of chocolate. So it's a lot.
Okay. Well, this has 18 alternating layers of cake and buttercream.
Yeah.
And this is a gorgeous glamour shot on page.
I'll have one of those. Can you send one?
So as John mentioned, and you mentioned, the first 115 pages or so are about technique and ingredients and laminating and starch. And I love that. And I loved, Johnson, you mentioned about color. I loved what you wrote about color. You said, no doubt, the most versatile and no, you wrote about at some point in every baker's life, you simply learn to love the color beige.
You do. You know, social media is such a visual place. Sometimes I look at my own social media and I go, oh, it's a bit brown. And then I think, no, that's a good thing. Look how many different browns. You've got chocolate browns. You've got caramel browns. You've got the brown of a soft hamburger or milk bun. It's just, they're all beautiful to me.
So in that section, you talk about, and these terms are thrown around all the time. I think even for those people who bake a lot, they don't really know what they mean. Maillard versus caramelization.
Yeah. So that's one thing that I'm not being pernickety, I promise. I'm never going to call someone out for using not quite the right word, but there really is a difference between browning and caramelization. Browning is what proteins, whether it's proteins in flour or, let's say you're cooking a steak, proteins in meat, that's what proteins undergo. And that's when you get sort of those toasty, rich flavors. Now, caramelization is when sugar melts and you get to a certain temperature and it turns into caramel. It tastes of burnt sugar. It's very delicious. It's sweet and bitter at the same time. Now, the reason that I care about how those terms are used is because I want people to be able to add those flavors into their bakes. And if you're not sure where they're coming from, if you're not sure whether it's browning or caramelization, then it's going to be hard for you to later put those flavors into your bake. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
It does make sense. I'm not sure I still, when I use the terms, I know when I've taught classes and I throw them out willy-nilly. Am I using the right term?
Well, now you'll think about that a little bit more. I loved your insight about what you said about eggs. I certainly never thought about this when I baking cakes. I just throw my eggs in. Yeah. But you write, no doubt, the most versatile and fascinating building block of baking, their unrivaled shapeshifters.
True.
Yeah.
Eggs? I guess it is.
It really is, because you can take the egg apart and you can use the yolk to make something rich. You can make custards and you can use it in cheesecakes and you can make really rich flavored things. Or you can take the whites and you can use that pure building block to make meringues. You can use it to aerate your cakes. It really is amazing. And then if you use them together, you get a bit of the best of both worlds. And it adds moisture. It also adds structure. I mean, that's one of the most interesting things about these four ingredients, these classic baking ingredients, sugar, butter, flour, eggs. You can put them into two camps. You've got tenderizers. That means they stay soft after baking, or they make your bake soft. And you've got tougheners. And toughener sounds like a bad word, but all I mean is that it undergoes a process when it heats that makes it go firm. So, for example, a egg, as you know, when you cook it, will go from a sort of semi-solid liquid to something completely solid. So you have to imagine that when you put an egg into a cake, it's doing exactly the same thing, except it's being interrupted by all these tenderizers. So instead of having just sort of a fried egg in the middle of your cake, what it's doing is it's holding up all of the sugar and all of the butter.
We'll take a break. Nicola Lamb, she's a great baker, but even as great an explainer why things work.
I know.
Don't go away, Nicola, and listeners, we'll be right back. And we're going to dive into the book right after this. The new book is Sift, The Elements of Great Baking. She's an original and articulate and really joyful new voice in the world of baking. Sift, it's out now. I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen.
It's your radio buddy Jimmy Failla inviting you to please join me for Fox Across America.
Which loser do I vote for?
Now live, mornings 9 to noon on Sonoma County's FM News Talk, KSRO.
Imagine a place where tradition meets innovation, a place where every baker from beginner to pro is part of a thriving community. Welcome to Central Milling's Artisan Baking Center in Petaluma, where this beautiful facility is more than just a state-of-the-art baking facility. It's a hub for lifelong learning and skill mastery.
With world-class instructors in a variety of classes tailored to all skill levels, you'll find the perfect fit, whether you're just starting out or refining your craft. And right now, use the coupon code BAKE15 to get 15% off any in-person class.
Artisan Baking Center is not just a baking facility. It's the farmer, the miller, and the baker all working together to preserve American farmland for tomorrow. Employee owned and operated, their team is personally invested in the quality of their products.
Go online to see all the classes available, from pizza to desserts, baguettes to pastas. You're going to find a class just right for you. Use code BAKE15 to get 15% off any in-person class. Go to centralmilling.com and click on Bake.
Maum Fireplace Center, proud sponsor of the Golden State Warriors for over 10 years. Maum Fireplace Center in Santa Rosa offers indoor and outdoor fireplaces from Town and Country, luxury fireplaces for the discerning homeowner. Find your flame at Maum Fireplace Center, 368 Yolanda Avenue, on the web at maumfireplacecenter.com. Maum Fireplace Center, we satisfy your burning desires.
When you're ready to buy livestock, build new facilities, or update your equipment, turn to a lender that knows agriculture. American Ag Credit has you covered with flexible term loans with competitive rates and payment schedules to match your operations cash flow. Whether you're buying, building, or making improvements on the farm, we can help you get rolling. Visit agloan.com to get started. American Ag Credit. Your future grows here.
COTS, Committee on the Shelterless, helps our neighbors who are experiencing homelessness to find and keep housing, increase self-sufficiency, and improve overall well-being. COTS provides financial assistance, transportation, mental health solutions, and case management. Committee on the Shelterless, COTS, believes everyone deserves a home. For help or to donate, visit COTS.org, COTS.org. This message is a service of Ongaro & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Electrical, and Solar. Because we care.
Get a $30 Racks and Cues Billiards and Brews gift certificate for $15 right now at My Sonoma Deals. Racks and Cues in Windsor has pool, darts, and great food like hot honey barbecue wings and almost famous Chicago-style hot dogs. Go to MySonomaDeals.com and get your $30 Racks and Cues gift certificate for $15 before they sell out. Open 7 days a week. Racks and Cues.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Nicola Lamb joining Chef John Ash and me, Steve Garner, in the KSRO kitchen today. Glad you're listening out there. This is a beautiful new baking book called Sift, The Elements of Great Baking. Before we dive into some of the recipes, John, you had one
Well, this
question.
Was just a quick question. Again, it was one of these terms I'd never heard before. Sure. In the section about how things rise, you describe it as a magical event. You use the term cold proofing. What is that?
Yeah. So cold proofing is when you take your dough and you, instead of keeping it a nice kind of cozy temperature, I only know Celsius, so I'm going to confuse your listeners if I say a number because they're going to think, wow, that sounds really cold. But if you were to put your dough in a nice warm environment, then it's going to rise and it's going to, you know, you'll be able to do it in an hour or so. If you take your dough and instead of making it warm, you take it to a cold environment into your fridge, what it's going to do is it's going to slow down the growth of that yeast and it's going to slow down the way that it ferments your dough. And you get a really interesting, different amount of flavor. You know, recipes these days, they are formulated to be as efficient as possible. This is modern world. We've got busy lives. Not everyone wants to spend 10 hours proofing their dough. So what we do now is you can put it in the fridge and you get all of this flavor just by doing nothing. And that's a pretty good deal, don't you think?
Oh, I think that's terrific. In the book, you do something really interesting. You divide it into three sections, an afternoon, a day, or a weekend. So we have some idea of what our time investment is going to be.
Yes, I promise that I will never lie to you about how long it takes to make something, ever.
Yeah, and you give the entire total amount on each recipe. There's the active time, there's the part needing to rest, there's the overnight. So maybe a recipe says 12 hours, 14 hours. That's not active time.
Definitely not. Definitely not. It's a bit hard when you go to write a cookbook because you want to give that total view. But at the same time, a lot of it is this inactive time. It's waiting for your, you know, maybe your chocolate ganache to cool down so then you can spread it. And, you know, that just takes time.
Well, let's grab it. Let's really focus maybe on some of the ones for an afternoon, which a lot of listeners would probably want to tackle first.
It's what I would tackle first.
Well, I like,
you know, that's also the way it's designed. The book is designed that you kind of it does sort of go from easier to more complicated. And that way, you can start very comfortably at the beginning of the book with these smaller projects that take less time, but are still really tasty, and they actually teach you techniques that you can then use later on in the more complex recipes.
So they're building blocks.
Exactly, building blocks.
So one quick question. I noticed you use creme fraiche on a number of different applications. You use it in your pie dough. Why?
Well, when you add something a bit acidic to your pie dough, it tenderizes it. So some chefs, they might, you know, add a little bit of apple cider vinegar, maybe a little lemon juice, and it can both tenderize the dough and also season it. I think You know how we're all very used to salt, fat, acid, heat? We know that, you know, those are things that we need to apply to our food to make it taste good. I think people often forget to season their bakes. Mm-hmm. So when you use creme fraiche, not only are you adding in flavor, it's got some delicious tang. You could use sour cream as well. It's helping tenderize your dough. And creme fraiche has also got fat in it. So again, it's tenderizing even more. And in my opinion, it gives you the absolute best pie dough. It's my little secret.
All right. John, into the afternoon bakes. Anything that caught your eye?
These are the ones I'm going to do. That's my longest list of things I'm going to attempt to try. This is actually early in the list of recipes. The ricotta marmalade and hazelnut cheese chocolate chip cake.
Did you hear her gasp?
You picked my favorite, one of my favorite cakes.
It's great.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, it sounds great.
Well, this cake is really unlike a cake you've probably had before because it's partway between a cheesecake because it's got so much ricotta in it and it's got lots of nuts in it. So it's sort of, when you first take it out of the oven, you might think, oh, this doesn't look like much. But then when you slice it and you start to eat it, it's got such a creamy, rich texture from all those nuts and the ricotta. And then, of course, the marmalade just really brings it all together and gives you such a lovely bitter tang.
Well, this is one, honestly, I think I could do.
I believe it.
Being a baker.
Can.
Yeah.
Well, John always, he's one of the greatest chefs in the country, but you always mention, oh, I'm not a baker.
Oh. Everyone's a baker, I think.
Everyone's a baker, yeah. John. Remember
you
that.
You just need to find the right recipe.
So Steve was talking, we were talking earlier about, before you came on, about a chocolate dessert and all of that stuff. And you have the Choco Nut Tart.
Yes. You know, this is a really good one for if you have any gluten-free people in your life as well. I know that there are people that can't have pie crust. So I got inspired actually by my sister who tried this chocolate confection once, which was really darkly toasted coconut chips. You know, those lovely big pieces of coconut with a salty chocolate. And it was so complex and delicious, I decided to press it into a tart case. And what you get is a kind of alternative crumb crust. I do love a crumb crust, but I think it's always fun to add more flavor if you can, especially if it goes with the filling. And the filling is a crema. And basically, a crema is very similar to a ganache. If you've made a ganache before, and listeners, I know these words sound scary, but I promise they're not. It's just the way that we refer to them. You know, all a ganache is you heat up cream, you pour it on chocolate, you whisk it, it's delicious. A crema is when you heat up cream and a bit of milk, you make a custard, so you add a little bit of eggs in there, and then you pour it over the chocolate exactly as you would a ganache. And then what you get is a slightly creamier and I would say it's richer, but it's also lighter in a way because it's not just cream. You've got egg yolks, which add a lovely roundness and smoothness. So, gosh, I really love that recipe too.
Well, and it's no bake.
It is. It's no bake. Very handy.
Yeah.
And also, if you're not a coconut fan, because I do know that these people do exist, you can use any crust for this. In fact, I actually, just before I came to the States, I made it with a classic pie dough. I blind baked the pie crust, and then I poured in this chocolate crema, and it was the perfect chocolate cream pie. Put some whipped cream on top. You know, I really want people to look at these recipes and go, I really love the way that filling looks, but that case is, or that base is not quite to my taste. And then you can mix and match, because what's the point of having a baking book with all these recipes in if you don't feel like you can use them all?
Absolutely. We have about 3 minutes, so we'll get through another 60 recipes in that time, possibly. For those that really hate the idea of water baths, I suggest the Lemon Bosque cheesecake, right?
Yes. So cheesecakes can be really fussy. So how cool is it that there's a cheesecake that you're actually supposed to burn on purpose? It's brilliant. It really makes me feel quite relaxed, to be honest, when I first did this recipe.
We about 2 months ago, John and I had the ultimate chocolate chip in-studio competition tasting. Ooh. We had 14 different chocolate chip cookies from 9 different bakeries, and we chose a winner. And that's why I was really intrigued by your comment when I lived in New York City, I walked 70 blocks to Levon Bakery to get one of these cookies. Please tell us about it.
Well, the Levon Bakery cookie is famous for its completely outrageous size. You can share this cookie, by the way, and I have left them in the original size because I just think it's so impactful. But I have seen people take the mix and make smaller ones, which is totally allowed. But the reason why it's so delicious is because it's got a really high amount of mix-ins. I think that when people think about chocolate chip cookies, you forget that actually the chocolate chip aren't just decoration. They are creating a texture and they are interacting with the dough. So they're actually a really crucial part of the structure. And the reason why these cookies, I think, are so big and chunky is because they've got so much filling in. And I've done this lovely miso caramel walnut. Mm-hmm. Now, oh, they're so good. And do you know what? Those miso walnuts could be stirred through muffin batter. They could be put on top of cakes. There's really no reason you should just use them in cookies. But they work really well.
Nicola, we're out of time, so I want you to I promise that you, can we continue our conversation when you're back in London?
Of course. I would love this. Okay.
We'll come over for tea.
No, we will continue part two with Nicola Lamb. The new book is Sift. We really highly encourage people to get this. John and I were speaking before the show. We've both been the judges for the James Beard Award cookbooks and also the Julia Child International Association of Culinary Professionals. We both agree at this point, this is going to be the baking book of the year, Nicola. It's that good. So thank you.
I'm blushing again.
Thank you for writing it. It's called Sift. Anyone that's a baker, a would-be baker, looking for a great present for a baker for the holidays, pick up the book. Thanks for sharing time with us, Nicola.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, next week, back in the KS Arto kitchen.
That's right. What's happening?
Well, I'll let you know next week.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, 96.9 in Petaluma, and 94.5 in Sonoma at KSRO.com and on the KSRO app.
Chernoff Cosmetic Surgery in Santa Rosa has been taking excellent care of patients for over 30 years.